Hey everyone, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 15 and Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is a wonderful scene, and it's somewhat of an unusual scene. So first, let's comment on the withdrawal. It says that he went away from there. He withdrew. This occurs several times in the Gospel of Matthew, and it usually occurs in circumstances where there's some danger. There's some threat to Jesus. So in this case, Jesus has just offended the Pharisees by telling the crowds that, yeah, guys, you don't need to follow the Pharisees' hand-washing teaching. That's not what makes you unclean. It's what comes out of your heart and out of your mouth that makes you unclean. So clearly, they're mad at this point. So Jesus withdraws. This is not a withdrawal out of cowardice. This is a withdrawal out of strategy. Jesus' time has not yet come. Obviously, he's not afraid ultimately to go to the cross, but it's not yet time for that. And so he withdraws strategically because he still needs to do some things before his time has come. And in this way, it's a recapitulation of the story of Elijah's escape from the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, because they wanted to kill him. Remember, in that story, Elijah goes to a widow of Zarephath and is there provided for a period of time. So it's a movement into Gentile territory. So looking at this woman, she's a Canaanite woman. Now, the Canaanites, they go all the way back to the patriarchs. These were the inhabitants of the land prior to the patriarchs. So they're pagans. They're the pagan inhabitants of the land that Israel eventually disinherited. But she's interesting because she's got terrible suffering and terrible need, but she seems to get Jesus. Maybe she's just flattering him, but it seems like Jesus detects a real faith in here. And she says in particular, first of all, she calls him Lord. In some cases, this can just mean sir, but it seems to be more than that because she also calls him the Son of David, which is a messianic title. This is the biblical title for the one who would inherit David's throne and fulfill the promises to ancient Israel and the promises to David. And so she picks up on who he is, and here she is, a Gentile. So this underlines that repeated theme that's in the Old Testament and the New, that sometimes outsiders get Israel's identity and calling better than the insiders do. Even now, sometimes outsiders get the call and the task of the church better than the church does. Well, the reception she gets is remarkable because it is, I would say, unremittingly harsh and difficult. Jesus does not answer her a word. The disciples, in exasperation, beg to have her sent away. They're kind of irritated by her, it seems. When he does respond, he says, "Well, I've only been commissioned to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And finally, he ultimately calls her a dog. He says, "Listen, the food is only for the children. It's not right to give the food designated for the children to a dog." So this just sort of opens up the question as to why Jesus was there, what he was doing in that region, and isn't he compassionate? Doesn't he love everyone? Well, I think there's a number of things to say. Certainly, he is compassionate. He loves everyone. But his mission from the Father is first and foremost to Israel. I think we should note that, yes, God is all-merciful and all-compassionate, but Jesus has the priority over even maybe general mercy to obey the Father. And the Father's will is first and foremost to the house of Israel, because they are his chosen vehicle for blessing the world. After all, Jesus is an Israelite. He is Jewish. And it is the Jews through whom salvation comes to the world. So Jesus has that obedient loyalty to the Father's task, and he has to give it priority. He can't let that go. And consider his own heart for Israel. As much as Jesus gets angry with various leaders in Israel, his heart is broken over the resistance of his people to his message. Remember, when he comes into Jerusalem, it's one of the only two times in the Gospels that describes Jesus crying. He weeps over Jerusalem and says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have drawn you to myself?" So his task is, yes, to die for the world, but to die for Israel. And the Bible always gives that priority to the Jewish people. And so Jesus is loyal to that priority. We know he wants to bless the world, but we know he wants to bless the world through his people, Israel. So the story, though, I think really zeroes in on the woman's faith. In the prior story, the Pharisees were upset that Jesus didn't teach their hand-washing practice. And Jesus says, well, actually, things outside you, what you eat, that's not what makes you unclean. What makes you unclean is what comes out of your heart and out of your mouth. And so Jesus gives that priority. Well, here's a woman who exhibits, I would say, extraordinary faith. In fact, Jesus doesn't describe anyone else's faith with this kind of vehemence. Oh, my goodness, woman, your faith is incredible. So she's an example of someone who's made clean, I think, by the faith in Jesus that comes from her. She is, in the end, doggedly convinced that Jesus, this son of David, can bless her, can help her, can have mercy on her, can save her daughter. Her faith makes her clean. Her faith is incredibly mighty. It is humble. None of this scene, you know, is she deterred? Well, in none of the words that Jesus gives her, the harsh reception, the calling her a dog, is she in the least bit phased, it seems. She knows Jesus can help, and that's all that matters. She's persistent. She doesn't get an answer at first. She gets maybe an argument against her request then. Then she gets harsh words. And I would just suggest that, man, she's a model for faith. She's a model for prayer. How often do we maybe give up when we don't get a response, or when we think of biblical arguments against what we request, or when maybe even we think Jesus says things we don't understand? She has this beautiful faith. She believes in Jesus. She believes that he can do something for her daughter. And he will not let go until she's blessed. I would suggest in this way, she's like an Old Testament or a New Testament analog to Jacob, who laid hold of God, the angel that met him, and would not let go until God blessed him. She is absolutely determined to get this blessing from God. And fortunately for her, it's focused on the right object. Now, we don't know what she believed. She certainly didn't know Jesus was going to go to the cross. She certainly maybe didn't have great theology. But she had this personal investment that this Jesus, son of David, was the source of blessing for all people, and she was not going to let go of him until she received that blessing. The last thing that's worth underlining is that her faith in Jesus was not oriented towards herself, and I think that makes it even more beautiful. It was oriented towards her daughter. She was seeking her daughter's deliverance from demons. And so it reminds me in some ways of the men that bring the man who's paralyzed to Jesus. They are convinced Jesus can do something, and they bring him. And we don't know what he felt about that. So in this last way, I just think her faith is incredible, because it is aimed at Jesus, convinced that Jesus can do something about the circumstance she's bringing, and it will not let go regardless of the opposition or the difficulty she faces. In this way, in some degree, it reminds me of Monica, the mother of Augustine, who prayed for years that her son would come to faith. And after harassing one bishop for a long time, please go talk to my son Augustine, please convince him, please persuade him to the faith, his answer was to her, "Go your way. It is impossible that the son of these tears of yours will perish." So I think she's a beautiful model of clinging to Jesus on behalf of those we love, so that we can see them come to faith in Jesus, so that we can see them come to blessing and health and life. So may we have, and may we follow in the footsteps of this woman of extraordinary faith who invested all her faith in the person of Jesus, convinced that it was through him that God was sending blessing into the world by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen.